football on off the ball.
I had a 2-year plan to get back to the Premier Division, and when Shelburne came knocking, I couldn't say no, so...
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Coy Gig Pod on Off The Ball. In association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Coy Gig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here, back after a ship that was very well steered by Alana Canaan last week. I'm feeling relaxed, rested. I'm so happy that I'm back in very cold Ireland and not in 25 degree Portugal weather. But anyways.
At least you're coming back to an Arsenal win.
This is true. This is true. This is the sort of positivity that
could
I need in my life today, Karen, in a day that feels like it is actually...
a beacon of positivity.
Well, as she has already introduced herself as Captain Positivity there in the corner, I'm joined as always by Karen Duggan and, of course, Ireland International Jamie Finn. Jamie, how are we doing?
Yeah, all good. Went over to Birmingham actually about 2 weeks ago. So it was nice to get over to the girls and kind of get back in. And they're on a winning streak now, which is great. They've been doing really well. And just the weekend gone, actually a really good result against London City, like top of the table kind of clash. And they performed really, really well as well. So it's always nice to go back when spirits are high as well. So that was really nice, yeah.
I know, because we've said it before, but the championship is such a competitive structure that you really do need to enjoy those times when you are top of the table. So 9 matches gone, they're 3 points ahead. Everyone else, I think, below them has played 8 matches. So that 3 points is like still quite close. But as you say, nice to go in when it's a good vibe. How was the atmosphere around there? I mean, I'm sure for yourself, you were just delighted to get back into it, because you've said before the individual training, it can be tough sometimes.
Yeah, it was really nice. I felt like I was going back in as a new player, because we've signed so many players to see they're just gone. So it was nice to get in and mingle, and they didn't quite understand my accent, which is unusual. I have to talk a bit slower.
Well, I'm glad you didn't lose your accent. We've seen cases of that, you know.
I would never, ever lose it.
Who is the worst case you've seen, Karen, of that?
Oh, I couldn't. Couldn't put them on blast.
It was nice to kind of meet the new players and watch the training session as well. I'm not quite at that yet. So it was nice to see what goes on. And obviously we have the new manager, Amy, in, so it was nice to get in and see what she does. So, yeah, it was good.
Did you feel like it gave you a bit of a bounce in your own recovery and training? Just seeing like, okay, that is now actually within touching distance of me, and it's not this far off thing that it was a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, as you said, you can see it now. You can see the pitch and the girls training, and you're like, right, I'm nearly there. So, yeah, just keep pushing. Last few bits, really, just to tidy up and testing and stuff. So, yeah, it's the end is in sight. Thank God.
I think everyone around the country will be celebrating that one for you. What is it that you've seen or even like heard from some of the players in there that Amy does bring to the squad in their performances and in the fact that it has been a fairly successful start?
Yeah, I think just speaking to a lot of the girls, it's a lot of like individual things that she kind of grabs it and says, listen, I want you to work on this, this and this. And obviously collectively as well, the performance on the weekend was brilliant. And I think she just gives that level of detail that we needed as well. Training sessions, I was speaking to the girls, have been really good. And obviously just watched one and I thought, yeah, this is what I want to be involved in. Intensity wise, just even information being given to you. Obviously we have Chelsea Noonan in as well, which is great, another Irish girl. I think they won't understand her more than me. Even sometimes I'm like, what? So it's great to have that connection there as well with Chelsea.
Well, I suppose it's great to see, because I think London City are second as well, aren't they? So, and they have a fairly strong Irish contingent. So once again, we're seeing those players dominate, doing well. When we look at the WSL, you probably look towards the bottom of the table a little bit more and see how, you know, Courtney and Heather are struggling a little bit with Everton. They're in a relegation battle, but it just goes to show like how up and down that Irish contribution is to the two major leagues over there, in that we're represented on both sides of the picture quite strongly.
Yeah, I think obviously when I went over, I was into the WSL, and like you said, there was kind of a spread, but I think even more now, so there's more in the championship and then a few in the WSL. I think it's great. I think if you go over and you can get game time, yeah, like that's obviously if that's what you want to do, it's obviously a good way to go. And like you said, the championship, it's getting and more like tougher each year, and you can see that this year there's going to be a lot of teams competing for that top place, and obviously only one goes up and one goes down, which is so difficult because I think sometimes when you win the say the championship, you go up to the WSL, you kind of have to like the winners of the championship may be on the ball more, and then you kind of completely have to change in the WSL. It's It is like you need to go defensive, and you need to kind of build your way into that league. And sometimes you don't get a season to do that. So yeah, that's it is quite difficult to sustain being in the WSL too.
Yeah, I know we've had Jillie Flaherty on this podcast a couple of times, and she's always been a strong advocate for that. It should be more two up, one down, and build the strength of the league a little bit more. And as you say, give teams a little bit more of a chance, because you see what if you can do what, say, Leicester have done in the last couple of years, you can actually build on it and you can slowly creep your way back up. You know, it was obviously them against Birmingham in that relegation battle, but since then, they've been pretty consistent. They're always like, there's a little bit of a, ooh, will they be able to do it? But generally, by the end of the year, they've pulled away enough to have that cushion. And I think a lot of people have said as well last year at Bristol, you know, they brought loads to the league. They had the highest average attendance across a lot of the teams that weren't playing in, say, like the Emirates or wherever it might be. Karen, your postseason. I actually don't think I've seen you since you won your GA title as well. So
Oh yeah,
congratulations.
thanks. Yeah, we're
Recovered
still in
from the
G.
celebrations and also the
I don't know. Well,
match.
yeah, because we had to go into Leinster, so we played the Wexford champions Sunday week ago, and we won that by a point because we love doing things the hard way. So now we're playing St. Vincent's in the Leinster final on Sunday. So all very exciting. Obviously, Vincent's, they've won Dublin a good few years now. They're well versed in being in the Leinster rounds of it, where we're like, oh, this is great. We're selling our little spot the balls to try and raise money for the buses and stuff. It's good. It's good. There's a real buzz around the place. So like, it was like the perfect antidote to like the football season for me. And even everything that's going on now, like in the league, and you're seeing like loads of turnover and management, and there'll be loads of turnovers and players and all this chat around, and you just don't have that in the GAA. And there's something very just like settling and grounding about just the fact that you're forced into being loyal. And you know, it's yeah, it's been great. It's been so nice to be getting back home more and stuff like that. So it's been good. I'd like it to continue, but we're fairly happy with the fact that we won our first senior title
No,
after
that's
10 years of
very.
10 years of slogging away at it. So yeah, we're buzzing.
It's kind of nice you have between your two different sports, like one doesn't go too well, and then all of a sudden the other one doesn't go well for you, and you're like, ah, well, successful
Like
season.
the previous year, the day we got knocked out of the championship was against the team we played in the county final this year, but I think we lost by 2 points, but it was the same day I won the league down in Wexford. So it was like the opposite end of the scale. So it was nice to tip it in the favour of the Camogie this year. Yeah, it was great.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
We're
you.
all very proud of you. I was checking the results online for most of the day, so I was very happy to see. I didn't bother texting you because I was like, she'll be off celebrating.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't engage with anyone for a long time.
That's totally understandable
Yeah.
and fair. Well, of course, over the next couple of weeks, just to give people a bit of an insight, we do have those really important playoffs coming up. So we will be doing lots and lots of coverage around that. I will be over in Cardiff for the game and also in the Aviva for the second game as well. So stay tuned for player interviews, reaction. Hopefully it's all good reaction. I want to throw back to when we qualified for the World Cup, Karen, and we were delighted with ourselves.
Yeah.
But for this week, we're going to turn our attention now over to the WSL, and we're going to get Scarlett Heron on to do her team of the week and also to give us a little bit of a tactical breakdown of what she found one of the most interesting things of the weekend. Now, Scarlett is here with her team of the week. Scarlett, what were the vibes this weekend? How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, good.
Some dominance from the top teams that we haven't seen as much as so far this season.
Yeah, I think it's very difficult to leave any other teams off. Like you're sort of looking at Chelsea, Arsenal, and City, and you're thinking you can't even fit another team in there. Obviously teams had big win at the weekend as well, but yeah, it's really difficult to look past them. I think there was a lot of big performances this week. A lot of good Irish performances as well, which is always good to see. And then you have the likes of like Bunny Shaw, who just like I don't think she'll ever stop scoring. Like she could win the Golden Boot by 20 goals. Like you never know. You just don't
Yeah.
know.
I think she scored her 7th hat trick this weekend, which takes her above Miedema in terms of record for hat tricks in the WSL. So, I think we may be watching a living legend play, but there's no harm
Yeah.
in that either. It's a lot of fun.
I nearly felt bad for Tottenham when they were like, and that's her third hat trick in 3 games against Tottenham. I was like, oh God, there's no way to have a game plan for her. It's not
Yeah.
like they didn't know what they were coming up against. She's just so good. Anyway, take us through the team.
Yeah, go through the team there, Scarlett, for us.
Okay, so I think in goals was where I struggled the most with it. I went with Hannah Hampton, obviously a clean sheet and made a few saves as well and just looked very composed at the back. And then we have a back four of Katie McCabe. Right back we have Heather Payne and then two centre halves, Anna Patton and Leah Williamson. Then in midfield we have West Ham's Katrina Gorrie, Guru Wrighton and Jill Roord. And then as the front three, we have Lauren Hemp out the left, we have Frieda Manham on the right, and Bunny Shaw up front.
As you said, like if that was my team, I'd be pretty happy in general.
Absolutely.
Karen, you're laughing away to yourself there.
Yeah, no, it's very good. It's a very good team, but like, yeah, it's stacked. It's great to see Heather in there. Obviously, it was a point. I would call it a point gained for Everton because she had to do a lot of work. There was points where they were under an awful lot of pressure, and she has to contribute so much into the attack. So, yeah, great to see her in there alongside Patton and McCabe for our Irish representation. Hard to pick it apart. Obviously, you've put Katrina Gorrie in there from West Ham. I do think they deserve a nod. We fitted one in out of the top three. I think you could have picked her, maybe Asai. She ran kind of the channels quite well, broke forward well. Zdorski was good for them as well. And then I guess you got Manham in the top part of the pitch for Arsenal, but again, Mead was very, very good up there. Ford was she was like 9, 9.5 out of 10, easy. But we've kind of come to expect that of her in recent times. But I guess Manham gets the nod just for the quality of the goals. So
It is
yeah,
quite
really, really
impressive
good
that
team.
Roord is coming back though at that level,
Oh.
considering that we've seen so many people with ACL injuries. They've kind of it's been hard one way or the other. Some people come back and they're fine, they can go back to it, and then others we've seen taking a little time. You even have, say, Miedema getting her surgery a couple of weeks ago. While she has been great, I think for City and probably has a bit more freedom than she had last year at Arsenal. We were still feeling like we were waiting for her to hit those like
Yeah.
100%
On
heights.
that like injury and people coming back from injury, the only other person I could think that would be up for a shout was George from United. She's come back and she's been good, she's been solid, but I'm not taking Heather out for her. So
That's what I was in between the two of them actually. I couldn't get a Man United player in there, but
you don't put one in there. They
I don't think it's
don't deserve
justified,
to be in there. No, it's not justified. We'll get on to that.
Jamie, what are your thoughts on the team?
Yeah, I would agree. Really strong team. Like Karen said, it's nice to see Heather in there and playing well as well. I thought she played well, doing a lot of work like she normally does. And interesting about Bunny Shaw, like I was listening to her interview. She said her first goal was obviously off a press, and she said that's what she was working on in training. I was like, what else are you working on? Like, I feel like she has like everything kind of nailed off, but like she's obviously a player that wants more, and she's obviously working stuff in training. And to say something like that, and then obviously, what was it, the first minute she scored off that, like,
Yeah, I can't believe that Spurs thought that it would be fine to play out from the back. I know maybe she's not known for that press, but if you mess that up once, she's scoring.
yeah, and
That's
that's
it.
not a great confidence builder for the rest of the game, like knowing that you have to mark Bunny Shaw on itself, and then that happens. Like, and then yeah, I think Jill Roard coming back from her injury. It's so nice to see that and refreshing for someone to come back from an ACL and just play the way she's been playing. Like, I know everyone says, like, you'll come back a stronger, fitter, better version of yourself. And I think that's just shown that she has come back like that. And she's just, yeah, like, really, really has played really well since she's came back from injury. So for me personally, going through an ACL injury, it's really nice to see that level. She can even get better.
Yeah, I was thinking of you when I was saying about Jill Roard coming back at that level. That's exactly the dream way you want to come back, and that you're ready.
Yeah.
She's got on the score sheet, you know, it's pretty much fairly central now to that City team, and it's still relatively early on in the season. Scarlett, was there anything else that you wanted to point out there that maybe the girls didn't touch on?
Yeah, I think a big part of it is Man City and their performance at the weekend. I think it's just, as Karen said, like, playing out from the back from Spurs probably wasn't the brightest idea. But as well, I think it's really positive from Arsenal. Like, that's their first, like, sort of standout win that sort of is like a statement to the rest of the league that, you know, they can compete at that level. And yeah, I just think, like, Kenny McCabe obviously getting two assists, had a really strong performance. And then it was just a really good performance from them to really, like, push on. And obviously with a new manager to come in, they're obviously all trying to prove themselves still, because that's a very competitive squad. So yeah, good from Arsenal, I think, from their perspective, to get a win and get back up running, I think, after
that. Yeah, I didn't think the comments were interesting. I saw Beth Mead in the Champions League press conference yesterday. And just for anyone that's listening to this, we recorded this just before/during the Arsenal games kicking off, so that's why we haven't really touched on it too much. But she was talking about Renee Slater and kind of saying that it's really nice to have a breath of fresh air around the place. She brought a whole new energy, all these different things. And I was like, wow, you're kind of throwing the knife in the back of Jonas Eideval without actually saying what happened and what was going on. So I think you did see a bit of that energy at the week. And I know the other thing, Scarlett, you were looking at was Man City and their ruthlessness. And I feel like we've probably touched on it a little bit there with Bunny Shaw, who was fairly central to that ruthlessness. But what in particular was it that you picked out that you thought was interesting about them this weekend?
Yeah, so I've just been looking sort of at their campaign since they started. And just like the amount of goals they put in every game is just, it's mad. Like, they just absolutely obliterate teams. And you get sort of big clubs like Man City, like, sometimes they create a lot of chances, have a lot of possession, but can't convert. Teams, a lot of the time, well, unlike Spurs, they'll sort of sit off them and, you know, trying to absorb the pressure rather than trying to go at them. But I think even at that, when teams line up like that against City, they always just find a way. And it's just, like, testament to all their players. And obviously, like, their bench as well is so strong. Like, you see Chloe Kelly only getting, like, 10 minutes at the weekend, and, like, the talent, like, she has. But yeah, I was just really looking at, like, trying to break down their goals and see, like, how they create this many chances, how they score this much, you know. And obviously, like, their key players are really important to that, the likes of Shaw, and I think Lauren Hemp has been, like, a really, like, a player who probably isn't talked about as much because of Bunny Shaw putting away all the goals. But I think, like, Hemp has 6 assists now this season so far, and, like, she's just, like, she just glides through players as if they're not even there. Like, even at the weekend, some of her, like, one of her assists, I think it might have been for Jill Roard's goal, like, she's just skipping past players. Like, she's, like, magic to watch. As well as that, like, I'm just looking at rotations, like, with the midfield and fullbacks. I think Uwabi is, like, brilliant for them as well as a fullback. You can see her getting wide loads, getting up, and then pushes Hemp sort of inside as more of a midfield option. And then as well as that, Jill Roard rotates in on the left-hand side as well, out wide. So it's just those rotations that kill teams, because if you're the fullback who's supposed to be, like, man-marking Hemp, that's, if you're a right-back, like, that's going to be your job for the day. And all of a sudden she's going in centrally into a sort of 10 position. Like, do you follow her? Do you stay on Uwabi, who's pushed up wide? Like, do you go to Jill Roard? Like, do you follow the ball? Like, it's just, it's impossible to deal with. And obviously you're then dependent on your midfielders or your wingers to help you out. But it's just at their pace as well, the pace that Man City move the ball, it's very, very difficult to defend against. And the majority of their goals this year have come from wide positions, sorry, and just getting crossed into the box. I think 11 of their goals this season have come from crosses, either that being looped into the box like you've seen with Bunny Shaw's header at the weekend. Just sort of like tapped it in. There was nothing really to it. So a lot of their goals have come from either them looping balls into the back post or else them driven crosses across goal. And when you drive a ball across that 6 yard line, like even if you get anything on it, it's going in the net, and that can be your own team and that can be the opposition's defender sticking out a leg to try to get at it, and it ends up in an own goal. So I think that, accompanied by the press that you obviously seen at the weekend, they're just they're unstoppable. And as well as that, you have the likes of Jess Park and Jill Roard who can hit one from range as well. So there's just so many different outlets that they can score goals from. And yeah, they're just a joy to watch. And I think that Chelsea will have have a bit of a push from City this year for the title.
You predicted exactly what I was about to ask you. I was like, having said all that, and with Chelsea having the record that they have so far in the season, you know, what... who is going to come out on top of this one, or do you think they're evenly matched?
I'm really excited to see them both play each other, because I think it'll be either one of those games where it's either a 0-0 or it's like 4-3 to someone. It really just depends.
I really hope it's a 4-3. I can't watch another 0-0 after Villa United at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they're two teams that just they don't lack goals. In either department, I think Chelsea, even at that, have scored like 20-something goals this year, 23 goals or something. Obviously, Chelsea have a game in hand on City, but I think there's 2 points in it at the minute. So, yeah, I think Chelsea will really be pushed. But, I mean, Sonia Bombaster seem to do a really good job so far this year. So, again, like Chelsea are kind of last year, even Emma Hayes was writing them off, saying that the league was done and they managed to win it. So, I don't think you can ever doubt them, but I think they'll definitely be tested this season. And I think the head-to-head between those two sides will really be the decider in them. So yeah, looking forward to that game. I think it'll, it won't lack entertainment anyway.
No, definitely not. Just to follow up there, so City have played 7, Chelsea have played 6. So obviously that game against United was changed, and City are on 19 points and Chelsea are on 18. So, you know, a win for City would give them a bit of a cushion. A win for Chelsea would give them a bit of a cushion as well. But as it should be, a very interesting one. And we will bring all the analysis to that to you next week. But for now, Scarlett, thank you very much for joining us. And we'll move on to all the other games that happened this weekend. Okay, now we will turn our attention to all the matches that happened over the weekend. And as I said at the start, it was a fairly comprehensive weekend for what we would consider those top three, even though Arsenal aren't actually in the top three at the moment with their performances so far. So a 5-0 win for them against Brighton, 4-0 for City against Spurs, which Scarlett has broken down very kindly for us earlier, and then 3-0 for Chelsea against Liverpool. Let's look at that Chelsea-Liverpool game just to start with, because I think that one was quite interesting. In we've seen Liverpool in previous seasons put up like decent performances against Chelsea. You had that game at the start of the season where they beat them and everyone was like, oh, is this going to be a different season for Chelsea than what we expected? It wasn't. Spoiler alert, if you haven't been paying attention for the last couple of years. But Jamie, are we going to see, as Scarlett said there, you know, is the City performance at the weekend, is this going to be the one where we actually see maybe a bit more of the flair of Chelsea and what their proper mettle is, considering the run that City have had compared to, say, Arsenal, who have not had a great season?
Yeah, it's difficult. I think, like what Scarlett was saying there, I think Man City will definitely give Chelsea a run for the money when it comes to the title this season. Like, you've seen the breakdown of the goals that Man City have scored. And I think I've said this before the league started, that Lauren Hemp, if she can provide assists for Bunny Shaw, like, that's where majority of those goals are coming from. And like Scarlett was saying there, like, I think she kind of gets overlooked because obviously Bunny is scoring. Obviously, she's scoring as well, but she's assisting a lot. I think she got 3 assists in that game, if I'm right. Like, that's insane. And like, I think if that can continue, and then obviously you have such a strong bench for Man City, but then you look at the Chelsea team as well, they have such a strong side and a strong bench too. And I think that game is next weekend, is it, City and Chelsea? So yeah, it'll be a very interesting game. But it could go either way, like you were saying. It could be nil all, he could have no goals, but then it could be flooded with goals. Like, I think I'm going for flooded with goals, and I do think City will maybe nick the win. But who knows? Who knows?
Big I don't know. I don't know. I have to say I'm enjoying watching Chelsea more this season than I did last season. I think last season it was just very direct, and it was almost like teams were beaten before they went in. Whereas now I think Chelsea are playing a bit more. I think that they're running the ball a lot more. I think they're using their bench really well, which is quite scary. And yeah, I think, look, you can say Liverpool had a few chances, but Chelsea really dominated that game as well against a team like Liverpool, who we at the start of the year were talking about potential top four places. So I think I feel like at the weekend with all the results and all the teams, like normal service has been resumed. Like that's across the board from your Chelsea to your mid-table Man United down to Everton struggling against Crystal Palace. I feel like it was just right, we're back on track.
Does that make you feel happy, or was
no, not as a Man United fan. I think, yeah, this is what we were expecting. I think Arsenal played like Arsenal, which was good, obviously. A little bit disappointed in Liverpool, but I think that's just due to the power of Chelsea, to be honest, more than anything else. And Spurs are the leakiest team in the league. Good crack, but leaky.
I think that if they were ever looking for a new slogan, Karen, you should just introduce that one, because I think you've said it for about two seasons in a row now. Jamie, in terms of that, like Liverpool and obviously the team that they were up against, it was always going to be a difficult game for them. But we have seen Matt Beard frustrated. Do you think he would come out the other side of that game and say, ah, well, you know, it was Chelsea? But also, I just feel like with previous performances that they've put in against Chelsea, that there still would be a mass amount of disappointment there. And he would have probably wanted a bigger performance considering how they have gone so far in the league.
Yeah, I would agree. I think obviously with them, they have put in decent performances against Chelsea in the past. And I think it just obviously, I think the power of Chelsea obviously took over. I think Ramirez scoring in the 37th minute and then obviously Wrighton in the 42nd. Like if they had a went in at 1-0 at halftime, could it have been a different story? Maybe not with the power of Chelsea. But again, it's you could say 1-0 at halftime, right, we'll go for them. But I think them scoring just before halftime kind of, yeah, it didn't obviously go well for Liverpool then. But disappointing, I think, because obviously at the start of this, we were saying how well Liverpool ended last season, and coming into this season, I think we expected a little bit more from them. Well, a lot more from them, to be honest. And yeah, it's difficult when you come up against the likes of Chelsea, the Man Cities, and then obviously you can add like Brighton in there. Difficult to get results against them. But if we were saying this time last season, we would have expected Liverpool to put a performance in against them and maybe even nick a point or 3 points.
I think Chelsea are just too good. And as for the final goal, was it like 90 odd minute? Ramirez was running at full tilt, like power and pass people. I think that there's still a grit about Chelsea that will make sure that Man City at no point will pull away. I just don't think that it's in the Chelsea psyche to allow that to happen. I think eventually the top three will pull away, but I think maybe because of Arsenal's start, it'll be more difficult for them to actually make a title charge. I think as well the squads of Chelsea and City are a little bit stronger now than Arsenal.
It'll be interesting when Sam Kerr comes back. I don't know. Have they put any like update on her fitness?
Kerr, Lauren James, couple to.
It's so funny because like I just keep forgetting about the two of them, and then every so often they pop into my consciousness in some way, and I'm like, Jesus, like what do you actually do? Let me see.
Because Wrighton for me is pushing Bonnie Shaw for the best pair in the league at the moment, as well as Hemp. I think she's been unbelievable. She had an unbelievable start to the season. And Canerid is a nuisance, and Ramirez is only going to get better and better the more she's embedded in the team, I think. So
I think the last thing Sonia Bonpaster said to her was halfway through October, and just that she's in a really good place as she keeps recovering. So like she did hers in January of this year. So like probably on track enough, but not at the stage where she's actually properly back. I can imagine as well, since she's slightly older. I mean, like, I don't want to call 31 slightly older, but, you know, in terms of playing, that they probably would give her the time and the space to do it. And also, they don't need her.
No, that's the thing. Like, they,
I'm sure, but
they certainly don't need to be putting her under pressure or putting her under any undue stress, given that they have invested in a new contract anyway. So they want her back, right? So they've got plenty of options. It's scary. I don't know where Lauren James is either. Mm-hmm.
The poor James family have an awful luck when it comes to injuries. I mean, you look at Reese and you just hope that Lauren doesn't follow his general profile, because he kind of gets back for a game or two and then she's gone again. It just says she's still recovering. I mean, that was, again, only the 20th of October that she got back, or she withdrew from the England squad with that injury that she had. Sonia Bonpaster said, it'll be difficult to give a date for her return or a right date. So she won't be back before the next international break for sure. So you'd imagine potentially after still Christmas. Got
Aggie Beaver-Jones, who always seems to score anytime I see her play as well. So, and Macario, who they obviously invested in as well. Yeah. Every time we sit here and like actually start looking at their squads, I'm a bit like, oh, Chelsea, they're not going anywhere ever.
Well, you mentioned Arsenal there as one of the teams that perform well, more of an Arsenal performance, 5 goals, 5 different goal scorers, clean sheet. And actually, you know, if it was last season and you saw they beat Brighton 5-0, you'd be like, good result, but, you know, not against one of their big competitors. But this year, this shape of the league is so different in that Brighton have a point on Arsenal at the moment. And if Arsenal hadn't have won that game at the weekend, it would have left them on 9 points and Brighton in third on, that would have been 68. So like it would have been a massive leap for them to go up. Karen, you were saying about it being a return to the Arsenal of old. What were the elements of it? Like, was it just the positive football, the lack of fear maybe that we had spotted a couple of times before?
Yeah, I think they were just a little bit more fluid and everything. Like, we're talking about them having a lot of possession before, but not having much like meaningful shots on target. You know, there were kind of bits here and there. So while it's not really up with the numbers of Chelsea and City at the moment, they had like 18 shots and 8 then were on target. And I think before they were having maybe 18 shots and having 3 on target, you know. So it is, it's just that clinicalness. I think bringing Mead back in was a good call as well. Like, she can just get a spark, and when she comes off the left, when she's playing with confidence, I think she's usually a good banker for a goal. So we always kind of felt like it was more to do with them being a happy camp than anything. It's not that they ever don't have the talent, you know. It's always kind of been like, why aren't we getting the most out of it, because we know the talent of the individuals. So we were thinking maybe a managerial change would be kind of like the catalyst for that. Maybe this is the start of it. It should give them a lot of confidence going forward, but I think they need to get the consistency, obviously, of a Man City and a Chelsea. We've spoken about their inconsistency before, which it was just never as evident so early in the league as it has been this year. They were really, really good at the weekend. Lots of really, really good performances. People stepping up that need to step up, like your Leah Williamson. She was really good, but they need that. You know, they need the leaders to lead. It can't always be blaming the manager. He needs to come from people on the pitch as well. We had Katie in the team the week as well. She's a leader. You can see that when they were scoring their goals, she was making sure everyone was coming in. So it is about gelling and getting them back on the same page.
I'm curious to see how the next couple of weeks go for them, just in terms of not having a manager in place. And they've kind of said that it won't be until the next international break that that happens. Obviously, the rumors were like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago now, was that they wanted the former City manager, Nick Cushing, to come in. And he's kind of made it obvious that he doesn't want to. Not that I don't think he's actually made any public statement about it, but just general reports. But he's not interested. So it's like, where do they turn their attention to now? And did they put a lot of eggs in that basket that he was going to say yes? Because it's not really a time of the season that you, I mean, there's no time of the season you don't want to have a manager, but particularly now with Champions League, qualification, trying to make up some points, North London Derby at the weekend, which will be a really important one for them as well, in that, you know, Spurs have got closer and closer to Arsenal in recent seasons. And I have put in some really big performances against them. So you feel they would need that to keep their momentum going. In terms of a team who hasn't kept their momentum going, Manchester United. Jamie, this game, watching it on Sunday evening, I'd just been to the FAI Cup final, finished that, went to watch this game, and I was like, give me a goal, please, please. I just seen Drogba actually run over Derry as if Derry were not one of the top teams of the country. And then this game just did not deliver at all.
Yeah, really disappointing from United. What do they have, like 5 shots and 1 on target in the whole game and 2 corners? It's obviously not like them, and they've had a decent start to the season. And compared to Villa, they had, what, 10 shots, 4 on target. And yeah, I think watching them, it was just like you said, like, please just someone have a shot on target, like, have, give something to the game. And I think watching Mark Skinner's interview after, he just said it just wasn't good enough, and it wasn't at the standards of United, any Manchester United team. And listen, that's like the stature of playing for Man United, but like, yeah, it just wasn't really. Yeah.
Talks about lack of aggression. That's a basic thing though. But maybe, actually, you need to
in
have
your world, who, definitely, Karen.
Well, no, you need to have players in your team who bring that, and it can't always be the defenders, because if they go overboard, you know, it puts everything in danger. You kind of need that from the front, and maybe it is a bit softly in that kind of, the press isn't aggressive enough, and the tackling isn't aggressive enough, and that's a mindset thing, because everyone can get that out of themselves at some point. They just need to find a way to do that. And yeah, Tulis Joyce, she was the busier of the keepers. Like, people were bigging her up after the game, and she made some really good stops. And I think she's been very good for them this season, kind of gone under the radar. But the few times they tried to play out as well, where they were misplaced, those nervousness, it seemed to filter through the team. And I don't think United settled until a very late push at the end of the game. And
I think that first shot on target came like in the 72nd minute.
It was a great move down the right. Actually, did something with purpose. Toon was getting in the box. It was good, but it wouldn't have been a deserved 3 points, I don't think. I think they should be happy to get away from a draw with that one. I thought Villa were the better side all round, just not clinical enough, and that's an issue for them, because they have had some good performances and still find themselves farther down the league than they should. Really. But in terms of United, yeah, it's a bit of same from last year. You just feel like you're always waiting for something or someone to really grab a game. And it usually we're still turning to Williams at the end of a game, hoping she'll come up with something in the box.
Not ideal. Maybe Chelsea can lend you a player.
They have enough, yeah.
And then just a final one, just to mark as well, that Crystal Palace Everton game, because we had Heather in our team of the week, which is great to see. But I don't know, it's like a weird one, because you feel like this is almost points lost for Palace and points gained for Everton, which isn't the way you would have gone into the season of seeing things going. Everton are now bottom of the table. They are really, really struggling. They've had, as we've talked about on previous podcasts, their ACL injuries and just general injuries as well, which is incredibly difficult for them. But it's almost a feeling that the next break can't come quick enough for them, in terms of the proper Christmas break, where there's a good long month or so off and they can just, I don't know, regroup, maybe bring in some players, yeah. Because I don't see a whole lot happening before then.
Yeah, they need to mentally reset as well as everything, because those losses of players, they can really impact you, and obviously on a really bad run of form. But at least there's a point where you can say, okay, from that point, we can kick on. Whereas if it's a continuous thing, it's very hard to drag yourself out of it. But they can have a target, and it's the target now is just stay above water between now and Christmas and get to that Christmas break, and then hope that there can be a reset and they can take that time to really kind of like rejig things there. Because they didn't look like they were the favourites to win that game. I think that it was quite even, but I think that Crystal Palace, in terms of quality goal chances, probably they pipped it for me. The ones that looked like they had more belief in themselves in the final third. I think Stengel is still a very good, really good signing for them. I think the fact that she creates and holds up play, she might not be getting on the score sheet, but she seems to be quite central to a lot that they do up there.
Yeah, Jamie, I thought Laura Kaminsky, the Crystal Palace manager's comments after the game was quite interesting, saying, you know, they're still quite new and that's maybe why they're not putting away those chances that they have as much. You'd say in terms of teams that have come up into the league, they're doing relatively well for the point of the season they're at, but said, you know, we're 7 games into WSL and I'm asking players to bury chances like we've been here 7 years. That's probably exactly the sort of attitude you need, because if you look at it any other way, it's going to be quite difficult to keep your place up in the WSL.
Yeah, it's obviously a fair comment there. Like, as I said, like at the start of this, it's so hard to win the championship, come up and then like transform into a WSL team. Like, it takes time to do that. And in fairness to Palace, they picked up that win. And I said, like, that win is just so important. Like, Everton would do anything for that, for those 3 points. And it just kind of relieves a little bit of pressure down there. I just think, like Karen just said there, it's that mental coming into every weekend of, oh, we're in this relegation battle. We have 3 points. We need to pick up points somewhere, anywhere. And it can be really, really tough to get out of that. And yeah, like you said, I think Everton will really welcome the break.
Yeah, Everton needed what West Ham just got from Leicester.
Mm.
You know, just that win over a really near rival that makes you think, okay, we're better than these and we can pick up points elsewhere. And they just haven't gotten that good moment yet that'll allow them to springboard for the rest of the season.
I think for Everton, it's just a kind of a worrying trend that like a lot of goals come from their mistakes.
Yeah.
And like that was in the first few minutes as well. And when you're low on confidence and that happens, it's just like, oh, not again. You know, yeah. It's really difficult to continue and try and get something from somewhere as well. And then like, I think their header for the goal was their first shot on target. So it's obviously clinical to get the goal, but it's so hard to chances then when you have such low confidence and being on the ball as well. So yeah, it's a difficult one for Everton to be in.
Well, from our side, we'll hope that they do well, even though there's a couple of other Irish players in that relegation battle. So we won't show favouritism over one set of Irish players or the other. Karen and Jamie, Karen, I'm gonna, whenever you're in that room and you're doing this and the light starts going off, for anyone that's listening on podcast, Karen's doing this from work and she has rooms that have those automatic lights that go off when she doesn't move. And I think I just need to instigate a rule that every time that happens, you have to do like your favorite footballing celebration or something to get it to turn back on, to entertain all our
okay. We'll do celebration roulette from now on. So you send me whatever ones I have to do.
Okay, we'll do that from next week.
I need
week.
Practice for the new season. I think I'm going to become a striker.
I think you'd be
feel like a change.
Feels like the perfect time in your career to start change. Karen and Jamie, thank you so much as per usual. To everyone listening in as well, thank you for always supporting us. We really do appreciate it. If you want to chat to us at any stage, at the Koi Gig Pod on X/Twitter, we're always happy to answer any questions you may have. We're going to start the excitement building very soon as well for those European playoffs, which are coming up. And I feel a bit ill every time I think about it. But of course, it'll be fine. And we're going to qualify and it'll be brilliant. And we'll be cheering Jamie on in Switzerland next year. The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. Thank you for listening, and we will see you all again next week.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.